John 16 and verse 33, in this world you will have trouble. For sure, it's true in this world, in this life, in your life, you've had trouble. You're maybe right now in trouble, and you know it with certainty, there's trouble still coming for you. Today, tomorrow, this week, or next, you don't know when it's coming, but you no doubt know that it is coming. In this world, you will have trouble. With that announcement, Jesus gives this assurance, his peace. This the full statement from the Lord. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In John 14 and verse 27, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. In this world, in this life, all kinds of trouble, even all the time, trouble. And yet despite that, in Christ, we can be, we are untroubled, not afraid, filled with his peace, and so then at peace. Wisdom's word says it like this: in this world, in this life, there's going to be that would make you to be unsettled, uneasy, upset and frustrated, discouraged, anxious and fearful. In this world, in this life, there's going to be that would make you to be weighed down and wore down by worry. In this world, in this life, all kinds of that, even all the time, that. With that announcement, though, also the assurance of this, countering the weigh you down and wear you down worry stuff, a good word. That despite that weigh you down and wear you down worry stuff, that good word that would cheer you up. Proverbs 12 and verse 25, you maybe know it by now. Worry weighs a person down, but a good word cheers them up. In the context of both, listen now, what Jesus says, what wisdom says, in this world, you're going to have trouble. You're going to have to deal with some worrisome things, but it really is true. Listen now, you can never mind that. You can never mind the trouble and the worry. And you can set your heart, you can set your mind on the good word. And that good word will bring to you his peace. That good word will lift you up, pick you up, cheer you up, no matter the trouble, no matter the worry trying to wear you down and weigh you down. Do you understand? Really, the way to experience, to live in the Jesus peace-filled life, the way to experience, to live in the worry-free, not wore-down, not weighed-down life, that comes from a good word. For the trouble then, this morning, whatever the trouble, you need a good word. For the worry this morning, whatever you're worried about, you need a good word. A good word is good after all. For you, for me today, even every day. Because it's the good word that would lift you up, pick you up, cheer you up out of the way down and wore down place that worry has perhaps put you in. And it's the good word that would settle the troubled heart, calm all the fear, and fill our hearts and minds, our very lives even, with the peace of Jesus. Which, by the way, is far more wonderful than our minds could ever begin to understand. A good word. Oh, it's oh so good. So this morning, I have a good word for you. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. This from the Contemporary English Version. Only those people who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. God's Spirit doesn't make us slaves who are afraid of Him. Instead, we become His children and call Him our Father. God's Spirit makes us sure that we are His children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus. In Galatians chapter 4, a very similar portion of scripture, but when the time arrived that was set by God the Father, God sent His Son, born among us of a woman, born under the conditions of the law, so that He might redeem those of us who have been kidnapped by the law. Thus, we have been set free to experience our rightful heritage. You can tell for sure that you are now fully adopted as His own children, because God sent the Spirit of His Son into our lives, crying out, Abba, Father. Doesn't that privilege of intimate conversation with God make it plain that you are not a slave, but a child? And if you're a child, you're an heir with complete access to the inheritance. In Romans and Galatians, there are a lot of good words. Listen, here's a good word. You were kidnapped by the law. But in Christ, because of Christ, you have been redeemed. Here's a good word. You're not a slave to fear. Not anymore. No, in Christ, because of Christ. Listen now, the good word, you are a child of God. Here's a good word. He is your Father. You can call out to Him when you need help, when you need mercy, when you need grace. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be embarrassed or shy. You can call out to Him boldly and confidently. And when you do, you can cry, Abba, Father, Dad. Yes, you can. Do you see just a couple of verses, but for sure a lot of good words. For us this morning, though, we'll consider this the good word. Romans 8 and verse 17. Galatians 4 and verse 7. You are a child of God. And because you are joint heirs with Jesus. His inheritance as the Son of God. You have complete access to that inheritance. What a good word. Let me remind you of it this morning. What you have gained, what you have access to, what you have inherited in Jesus, all because of Jesus, who has made you to be a child of the Most High God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what trouble you're dealing with, no matter what worry is weighing you down, it's the reminder of your inheritance in Christ this morning that I believe would be the good word that would cheer you up. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, we read this. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The Living Bible says it this way: God took the sinless Christ and poured into him our sins. Then in exchange, he poured God's goodness into us. Do you see? Do you understand? His righteousness. That's the inheritance. That's what we get, what we have access to. One says it this way: this is the mystery of the riches of divine grace for sinners. For by a wonderful exchange, our sins are not ours, but Christ's. And Christ's righteousness is not Christ, but ours. When I, through Jesus, come to God, God makes me to be his child. And in doing that, he takes from me the mess that is me, that is my life, that's you in your life. He takes the filth, the shame, the regret, the rebellion, the disobedience. He takes all my sin, yours as well. Think of it now. Just begin to catalog for a moment all of your sins. Think for a moment of everything you've ever done wrong, everything you ever said wrong, everything you ever thought wrong. Think of every time you disobeyed God's word. Think every time you, in fact, blatantly disobeyed God's word. You knew that was wrong, but you did it anyways. God's word made it abundantly clear. That's wrong. That's sin. That's disobedience. That's rebellion against God. But you did it. Every time you did that, that was following the way of this world, that was done in wickedness and evil, not holiness and righteousness that you're called to live in as a child of God. You chose the evil thing. You chose the wicked way. Think of it now. That God takes all that and puts all that on his sinless son, the spotless lamb. It wasn't his. It was ours. It was our sin. But he gets it. And having taken all of that off of you, he puts then on you all of his righteousness. It wasn't yours. There's nothing righteous in you. Your best righteousness is nothing better than filthy rags. It's his righteousness, but you get it. That's the inheritance that is yours in Christ and because of Christ. You are made righteous. Listen to me this morning. You are righteous. Pastor, I don't feel very righteous. Pastor, I'm not real comfortable calling myself that. And not sure you would be either if you knew how I used to be and what I used to do, even what I did or what I said just this last week. But listen, don't you get it this morning? Don't you understand? All that was put on him. He was made to be the sinner. He was made to be the sin. That's not you anymore. That's not on you. It's him. It's on him and on you now instead, his righteousness. One says it this way: the only sin Jesus ever had was ours. And the only righteousness we can ever have is his. Do you understand? At Calvary, because of Calvary, the great exchange, the wonderful exchange is this: he is the one who is the sinner? All the sin by which you would be inclined to identify yourself. No, that's him. He bore that. He became that. So sinner, that's the title he gets. So you can now have the saint one. Wow. He, the sinless one, becomes the sinner so that I, the sinful one, can become the saint. Listen to how Paul conveys this divine exchange to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Those who live immoral lives, who are idol worshipers, adulterers, or homosexuals, will have no share in his kingdom. Neither will thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. And listen, and that is what some of you were. And listen still, and that is what was put on Christ. But that's only half of it, remember, because the inheritance that we have in Jesus isn't just about what was taken away and taken off of us, but it's as well what was given to us, what was put on us. Paul continues, the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who live immoral lives, idol worshipers, adulterers, homosexuals, no share in the kingdom. Neither will the thieves or greedy people, drunkards, slanderers, or robbers. That's what some of you were, but you were washed. You were sanctified. You were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. You were wicked. You were immoral, greedy, slandering, thieving, robbing kind of people. But all of that was taken off of you and put on him. He wasn't any of that. You were all that. But it was taken off you, put on him, and you were washed, cleansed, sanctified, and justified so that you could now be clothed with the righteousness of Jesus. In the end, simply put, as God's child, when he sees you, listen now. Oh, this is the good word. When he sees you, he sees his son. Listen now. When he sees you, he sees the righteousness of his son. When he talks about you, you're his child after all. That's what parents do. They talk about their kids. When he talks about you, when he identifies you, when he describes you, he does so by way of the righteousness of Jesus. Do you understand what you've gained, what you have access to, what you've inherited? Because like Jesus, you're his child, you're his son, you're his daughter. And with Jesus, you've then been made an heir. The wonderful exchange. Your sins become his. His righteousness becomes yours. Listen, you understand it this morning. Wow, that is a good word. No matter what's going on around you, all that you would be afraid of, all that you would be worried about, to be reminded of that to this morning, set your heart and mind on that. All I used to be, the sin that so defined me, I'm not that anymore. I sit here washed, sanctified, justified. I'm not the sinner anymore. I'm the saint, clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. Listen, you understand it this morning. No matter any other thing, to think on that, on this, that when God sees me, he sees the righteousness of Jesus. When God sees me, he calls me, he identifies me by the righteousness of his son. That is a good word. That will cheer you up. this morning. No matter all you're facing out there, that'll put a smile on your face and in your heart today as you take hold of that. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms. Here it is. With every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace which he has freely given us in the one he loves. You are no longer a slave to fear. You're a child of God. As a child now, you're also an heir with complete access to the inheritance. Do you understand? With complete access to every spiritual blessing. Through Christ, you've been adopted. You belong to God. When you call out to him, you call him Abba. You call him Father. He calls you his son. He calls you his daughter. As a child now, you're also an heir. Joint heirs with Jesus. Do you understand? Every spiritual blessing that belongs to the Son, every spiritual blessing that's been granted to the Son, every spiritual blessing that's found in the Son. Listen, son. Listen, daughter. Listen, joint heir with Jesus. Every spiritual blessing that is his is now made yours. Every one. That's what you have. That's what you've gained. That's what you have access to. That's what you've inherited. And listen to this from 2 Peter, what that means for you. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Do you understand? Every spiritual blessing in Christ is yours. And because it is, because you have that, because you've gained that, have access to that, because you've inherited that, listen now, you have everything you need. You lack nothing. Not for life, not for godliness, not for participating in the divine nature. You have everything you need to live like Jesus, to escape the corruption in and of this world. Listen, never mind the fearful thing. Never mind the worrisome thing. Never mind all the trouble you have. Set your heart and your mind on this. There is no blessing in heaven that you don't have, that you don't have complete access to. Every spiritual blessing, everything you need, everything that is yours. You have it. That's the good word that would cheer you up this morning. In Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is tempted by the devil himself and victorious in and over every temptation. In Hebrews chapter 4, we read this, for we do not have a high priest who's unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet without sin. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 5, we read this, and you know that he became a man so that he could take away our sins, and that there is no sin in him. No missing of God's will at any time in any way. In Colossians 2 and verse 15, and having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Temptation, sin, powers and authorities, the devil himself. Jesus' life was always and only marked by victory and triumph. In Acts chapter 2, this man Jesus was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. In Revelation chapter 19, I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. On into Revelation 20. And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. He threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore until the 1,000 years were ended. Do you understand? Listen, here it is. Throughout life, over death, and ultimately in the end, Jesus has the victory. And you know this morning where we're headed. The good word. That's what we get. Victory. That's what we have complete access to. That's our inheritance. Victory. Victory throughout life. In Romans 8, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. In 2 Corinthians 2, in the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. In 1 John 5, loving God means doing what he tells us to do. And really, that isn't hard at all. For every child of God can obey him, defeating sin and evil pleasure by trusting Christ to help him. Victory over death. In 1 Corinthians 15, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man. Just as everyone dies because we belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. Paul continues, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, the dead will be raised imperishable, and we will be changed. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true: death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God. He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And ultimately, even for us as well, victory in the end. In Revelation 19, we read of the rider on the white horse who is called Faithful and True, who is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who defeats the beast, his false prophet, and all the kings of the earth gathered to make war against him. He defeats them by the word of his mouth. He seizes the dragon, that ancient serpent who is the devil, and bounds him for 1,000 years. With all that, we also read this. The armies of heaven were following him. That's you and me. Riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Do you see it? Do you understand? At the victory in the end, we're there, right there, riding with him. In Daniel 7, in 2 Timothy 2, in Revelation 5, in Revelation 20, we're not only riding with him, we're reigning with him. Do you understand this morning? Do you hear the good word, my brother? Do you hear the good word, my sister? Throughout life, over death, and in the end, yours is the victory. That's the inheritance that you have complete access to. Complete access to the victory. That's what you get. That's what you have. The victory. In this world, you will have trouble. You're inclined to say amen. You're inclined to nod your head. Oh, pastor, preaching to the choir, let me tell you about my trouble. What you ought to say, pastor, you better check yourself. In this world, we might have trouble, but in this world and over death and ultimately into the end, we have the victory. Do you understand? How can you not be cheered up by the good word that reminds you? In him, in it all, over it all, you have the victory. In Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory, and the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. In John 14, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. That's the good word that will no doubt cheer you up this morning. What you get, the inheritance that is yours, to be where Jesus is, to eternally enjoy the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. The good, cheer you up word this morning. It's heaven. In 1 Corinthians 2, we read this, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. Heaven, it is infinitely and indescribably better than we could ever imagine. It's paradise. I like the way that one puts it. Heaven is a place of no mores. No more curse. No more death. No more pain. No more sickness. No more suffering. No more crying. Do you remember? If I could count the tears that have fallen it would seem like an ocean to me. If my heart was a window you could look through, oh, the pain and scars you would see. I have questioned the loss of a loved one because the grave seems so final and cold. Oh, but we'll meet again where death has no victory, in a land where we'll never grow old. I've never met one man without sorrow. I've never looked into eyes with no pain, but I know a land where grief is a total stranger and joy is the only song we'll sing. Do you remember? Tears will never stain the streets of that city. No wreaths of death on my mansion door. Teardrops aren't welcome beyond the gates of glory, because the heart will never break anymore. No more chaos, no more confusion, no more the hard and the difficult times. Listen, in this world you will have trouble, not in that one. No more heartache, no more worry, no more stress, no more brokenness or betrayal, anger, resentment, bitterness or hatred, no more darkness, no more night, no more evil. One says it this way: no lie will be uttered, no evil word will ever be spoken, no shady business deal will ever even be discussed, no unclean picture will ever be seen, no corruption of life will ever be manifest. It will be holy because everyone in heaven will be holy. No more sin, no more the devil, no more any of that. Instead, this, Revelation 22, no longer will there be a curse upon anything, for the throne of God and of the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him. Listen, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. There will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them, and they will reign forever and ever. In heaven, it will be the fullness of God's goodness, the fullness of God's glory and his grace and his mercy, his holiness and his power. This is the same God that Scripture tells us no man can look upon his face and live. We can't, but in heaven, we'll dwell with him and him with us. You will see him. You'll look full into his wonderful face, this one who saved you by his grace. It'll be unhindered and unbroken fellowship and communion with him. One says this: for the Christian, heaven is where Jesus is. We do not need to speculate on what heaven will be like. It's enough to know that we will forever be with him. Do you understand? Very simply put, heaven is the place where sin and sickness, death and sorrow, crying and confusion, heartache, worry, fear and trouble, where all that is no more, and where the presence of Jesus is like you've never experienced before. Enough said, right? Heaven, it's where we'll worship with all the heavenly hosts, singing, "Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the Lamb who by his blood cleansed us. Worthy is the Lamb who took upon himself our sin and gave to us in its place his righteousness. Worthy is the Lamb who has granted to us every spiritual blessing, everything we need. Worthy is the Lamb who gives to us the victory. Worthy is the Lamb who has made a place for us so that we might be forever and ever, hallelujah, hallelujah, with him. Forget the fearful thing. Forget the worrisome thing. Heaven is your home, my brother, my sister. Heaven is what awaits you. It's what you get. It's your inheritance. That's a good word. Watch this now. You're thinking about the trouble, thinking about the worrisome thing that awaits you into the week ahead. Now, in light of that, tell yourself this: but one day soon, I'll be walking streets of gold. And watch as Proverbs is fulfilled in you. And the worrisome weigh you down and wear you down thing is lifted by the good word that would cheer you up. This morning I pray for you, like Paul did for the church in Ephesus. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking, this morning I ask, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. And I pray that as you are enlightened as to the glorious inheritance that is yours, I pray that you choose this morning to set your heart and mind on that, not the worry that would weigh you down. And as you do that, I pray that this morning, no matter that worrisome thing, no matter that fearful thing, you would be, you are cheered up. Father, would you speak this good word into my brother, to my sister, into their heart this morning? All the words that I have spoken, Lord, would you take those words and would you put them deep into the heart of each one so that this morning we can be cheered up by a good word. Lord, for my brother, for my sister, bound by faults and failures, would you remind them, oh, but Jesus, you bore that. You have taken upon yourself the fault and the failure. Listen, my brother, God himself declares you righteous this morning. My sister, would you hear me this morning? God declares you righteous today. He sees you and he sees Jesus. That's a good word. Lord, would you remind us in this place? Unless I miss my guess, some of us are very likely living outside of every spiritual blessing that we have access to. We're not living in the victory that is right now ours. Would you speak to us today? Would you remind us? We have everything we need. We have everything we need to live in victory. We have everything we need to look like Jesus. We have everything we need to overcome this world. My brother, my sister that has resigned themselves to defeat, feeling that they don't have what it takes to live right, to do right, to be the Christian that looks like the Lord, that is the Christian that responds like the Lord. Would you help them this morning? Would you speak to them? Oh, but my brother, my sister, every spiritual blessing is yours. The victory is yours this morning. Would you remind us of that? And would you put heaven in our hearts today? I wonder but that there would be nothing like heaven that would cheer us up in this room. No matter the worrisome, no matter the fearful thing that might be in our lives. My brother, my sister, lift up your heads. Your redemption draweth nigh. Father, help us today to choose the good word and to be cheered up by it. In Jesus' name. Just before we partake of communion this morning, we're going to gather at the Lord's table in just a minute. I want to invite you. Take a minute to respond to the word. Listen, remember, my brother, my sister, the choice is yours. You have the worry, you have the trouble, no doubt about it. You surely do. But this morning, you have a good word. What will you set your heart on? What will you set your mind on? Be weighed down by the worry or be cheered up by the good word. The choice is yours. Choose wisely, my brother. Choose wisely, my sister. Ask the Lord in this moment to help you. Lord, help us to choose wisely. Help us to choose the good word, our inheritance that we have, because we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. As we prepare for the communion, would you just take a minute or two and prepare your heart then for that? Have a minute. Worship Jesus. Thank Him for what He's done. Thank Him. In Christ, heaven is ours. In Christ, we have the victory. In Christ, we've been granted every spiritual blessing. In Christ, we are declared righteous. Thank Jesus for what He's done for you. Thank Jesus for what He's given you. Thank Jesus for the inheritance that He's given you complete access to. Maybe you want to stand to your feet. Maybe you want to lift your hands. Maybe you want to sing along with. Maybe you want to come to the altar and just have time with the Lord. Let's just take a few minutes to be with Him this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, we worship you this morning, Jesus. We worship you this morning, Jesus. Church, lift your hands, lift your voices, praise the one. Praise the one who raised you to life. Praise the one who gives you the victory. Praise the one who paid it all for you. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you this morning. We worship you, Jesus. Thank you. Tell him this. Just before we partake of communion, tell him thank you. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Come on, you know he has. He set you free. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's a good word. You know that's a good word. No wonder we thank you, Jesus. You've rescued us. You've saved us. You've delivered us. You've made us brand new. You've washed us, sanctified and justified us. No wonder we thank you today. No wonder we thank you. Your body was broken for us. No wonder we thank you. Your blood was shed for us. No wonder we thank you. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. On the night he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread and he broke it. Said, "This is my body broken for you." His broken body by his stripes, so that we can experience healing today. Come on now. That's a good word. That's a good word. Listen, my brother. Listen, my sister. This will cheer you up. On the authority of God's word, I speak it over you. Because of his broken body, you are healed today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Jesus, we thank you for healing that is ours. We thank you that healing has come to our body, to our mind, to our spirit. Thank you for healing. Thank you for wholeness that cost you your broken body, brought to us our healing today. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's take the bread together. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took the cup. "This is my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of your sins." Do you understand? Do you see, my brother? Do you see, my sister? That you hold in your hand, it's a symbol. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. Washed away by the blood of Jesus. Come on, thank him once more. Thank him once more. Your sins have been washed away. Jesus, we thank you for your blood that was shed, so that this morning we can be declared cleansed, sanctified, justified, so that this morning we can be declared righteous. Yes, we are. Better even than just that, we are clothed in the very righteousness of Jesus. How we thank you for that this morning. In Jesus' name, let's take the cup together. Once more, would you just lift your hands? Would you thank him? You, in your own words, just tell Jesus that you love him. Tell him how grateful you are. Tell him you're thankful this morning for a good word. ask him this morning, just before we get ready to go, ask him to help you receive the good word this morning. Ask him to help you that you set your heart and your mind, that he helps you to set your heart and your mind on the inheritance that you have complete access to. Ask him that by his Spirit, in the midst of the worrisome thing, in the midst of the fearful stuff, in the midst of the trouble of this life, ask him that he helps you to remember. Oh, but yours is an inheritance of righteousness. Every spiritual blessing, victory, and eternity with him in heaven. Ask him to help you, that you set your heart and your mind always and only on that. That's the good word that will cheer you up. Ask him to help you, that you be cheered up this morning. We love you, Lord. We thank you for the good word, that your mercies are new every morning. Your faithfulness great. We thank you for the good word of the inheritance that is ours in Christ. We thank you for that. We receive that this morning. In Jesus' name, would you stand to your feet? Would you lift your hands? Let me declare, let me speak over you the blessing of the Lord. He's under shepherd of the great shepherd, as high priest of this assembly. Listen now. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be good and gracious to you. This week, today, even every minute of it, the Lord turn to you. Remind you that you're righteous, have every blessing in heaven, the victory, and an eternity with him awaiting you. And give to you his peace, even because of all of that. Cheer your heart up from the way down and wore down, worrisome place. In Jesus' name. Would you receive that blessing? Would you say amen? Amen and amen. God bless.